As I said, I really appreciate our leadership team who steps in when I'm away. And I really appreciate Bill's launch of this series last week. And he shared at that time for him in his early church tradition, observing Advent was unknown and studying the saints of the church the same. And my background is very similar to Bill's. Our backgrounds are similar. Anabaptist. I had no idea what Advent was, except that maybe it was something that you did in order to increase air circulation. Truthfully, that's what I thought it was. That's not even a pun. The study and the observance of saints, if you knew anything about it, it was something that Catholics did. And what Catholics did, what good BIC people didn't do. Now, 50 years later, I know better. There's much to learn from these men and women of God and from the more liturgical churches. And I include the saints in the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. And in many ways, they're to be emulated, to be imitated. So as for Advent, my worship during the Christmas season has been enhanced by its observance, since it's a way to keep my focus on the coming of Christ and to and get my attention appropriately off of the glitter and commercialization of the season. All to say, I'm grateful for this emphasis, and I've already learned a lot in just these two Sundays. And I say two Sundays because this has been eye-opening for me as I've prepared this. Now, tomorrow is December 6th. Now, for us who don't know the saint days, it's St. Nicholas Day. So, St. Nicholas is our saint for today, as we've been looking briefly at the saints of this season. One of the reasons we are briefly looking at him is because in our culture, we simply cannot get away from St. Nicholas at Christmas. This is because St. Nicholas is none other than Santa Claus. Well, at least as our insert every week we have with the saint of the day, you have that here. As our insert points out for today, it points out that St. Nicholas is on whom our modern Santa Claus is, well, very, very loosely based, okay? You can read the insert, and it gives you some history on St. Nicholas. And as you will see, he was known for his generosity. And he was known for his deep compassion that moved him to action. He was observant, and he saw need, and he acted upon it. So obviously, he was a giver. And even though our jolly, fat elf version of Santa Claus that we've become used to over the past 200 years, I think kind of made famous by the Night Before Christmas poem, and that was kind of a revival of Santa Claus to where he could become an integral part of Coke advertisements and things like that. That Santa Claus, that jolly fat elf, is also a bearer of gifts. He really still has little resemblance to the early Christian Saint Nicholas. The modern Santa Claus expects girls and boys to be good girls and boys, and he knows who's been naughty and nice. And those who have been naughty, and this really dates the whole idea, those who have been naughty will receive coal. And those who have been nice will get exactly what they asked him for when they sat on his lap at Bueller's and answered the question, what would you like? What would you like for Christmas, little Johnny? And then, after that question's over, relinquishing little Johnny to his mom and dad, Santa Claus gives little Johnny a candy cane to hold him over until Christmas, when, of course, what little Johnny had asked for would indeed be under the Christmas tree, or not. These are the kind of promises that build anticipation. Rare is the little kid who's not excited by the fact. Rare is the Western little kid, let's put it that way, that who's not excited by the fact that Christmas is just exactly 20 days away from today. Well, from yesterday. 3 weeks from yesterday is Christmas. Fiona has been anticipating Christmas for a long time. She's at that age where excitement is building. And she was happy on, she said, "Papa, the next big holiday is Thanksgiving." She's also been anticipating something that I am going to give her. And I wasn't even aware that I was going to give her this. She's expecting me to give her a makeup kit. Apparently she told me this, or apparently she asked me, and I apparently said, as I said, my forgetter is getting better and better. And I know about this because she's been telling her mom and her grandmother about this and how I am going to get this for her. And I'm certain, in fact, it's already a done deal. I can do that for her. But maybe like St. Nicholas, or better yet, Santa Claus, I'm supposed to just divine that she wants a makeup set. Nevertheless, Fiona and many other kids are looking forward to Christmas morning with great expectation. And this particular papa is on notice. Now, expectation is what we're talking about today. Specifically, living in expectation. Not the kind of expectation that a little girl has for a makeup set, or a little boy has for a $500 video game. It's the kind of expectation that causes us to sing, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart." The people of earth are hoping. The nations of the earth are desiring deliverance. The world is longing in their hearts, in their heart of hearts, for joy. But in many cases, they don't expect it. Life has been too hard. Tragedy has been too close at hand. Over the past 2 years, sickness has stalked the planet. Despair is what characterizes many people on this planet. Now in Genesis 3, and I'm not going to read it in the interest of time, but if you get a chance, read Genesis 3. And I know you have a chance, so just do it. Not now. I know that the Sunday school class was threatening to do their origami during the sermon, but read Genesis 3 when you get a chance, because it gives this whole story, we read how Adam and Eve ushered in despair, as in their gullibleness and their arrogance, they took the father of lies at his word and believed that they would have God-like knowledge in the simple disobedience of eating forbidden fruit. And they fell for his deceit. And they and by that ushered in what we know as the fall. And the result was despair. For the first time, and definitely not the last, humanity was deceived by the evil one. But even though there's despair there in Genesis 3, there's an element of hope in the fact that the garden wasn't locked and or destroyed when they were kicked out. Instead, they were merely ushered out, and an angelic guard was placed to guard the garden and the tree of life. That's in Genesis 3:20, that the last couple of verses of chapter 3 of Genesis. So read through that and ponder that. Now, humanity had fallen, but God's plan was not over for us. His plan for redemption went into effect. And because of that, paradise is what awaits the future, the faithful in the future. That garden's there somewhere. And we can live in expectation of that. Now, interestingly, Eve, the first woman, was the one whom the serpent first encountered. And then she and her husband fell into what we know as original sin. It's a blessing then that the angel was sent to a woman with the promise of a Savior King. We heard Mary's song of praise earlier in the service. Carolyn read it so beautifully. And Mary is the woman I'm referring to. And yes, Mary was a young woman, maybe even a teenager. But her age didn't matter because she was left with the promise of deliverance for a lost race. And we can expect, it's a promise, we can expect that promise to be filled. From Genesis 3, until Mary's receiving of the news that she would give birth to the Savior of humanity, recorded in Luke 1, there are no less than 108 prophecies that God would send comfort and salvation for his lost creation. It said the promise of the Savior in the video, but there were 108. It's very plural. Comfort, there are prophecies of comfort and salvation. Comfort in the person of that son, the Messiah, the anticipated one, the expected one. That began at Christmas, that first Christmas. But we wait with expectation for his return for the next time. Now, one of those prophecies referred to is in Isaiah 11, actually 11 and 12, but I'm just going to use part of Isaiah 11. And I want to just read a few verses there from Isaiah 11, the first 10 verses. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, but decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the pure the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf will be together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the people, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. There are promises in them thar shells. Notice how many times the word shall is used. The promises made through the prophet 600 years before the arrival of Jesus Christ are still our promises today, and they are evident in the word shall. Look at them. Not only do they indicate a future event, they also promise that that future event will keep on going. It's ongoing. The shoot from the stump of Jesse did arrive. A baby born to a couple from the tribe of Judah, the tribe of King David, the son of Jesse. His name was Jesus. Prophecy fulfilled. Promises kept. The Spirit of the Lord did rest on him. Literally, listen. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus was full of wisdom and understanding, even when he was just a child, 12 years old, speaking to the religious leaders in the temple. It was true of him. He was full of wisdom and understanding. He came to glorify his Father. His delight was indeed then in the fear of the Lord. And he was an advocate for the poor. He deals with equity for the meek. His heart, he saw, he saw the need, he heard the need, and he ministers. In fact, he's the defender of the poor and the meek. He will overcome the wicked. That's the promise. Righteousness is what he and his are not known for. Christ followers need to be known for righteousness. ABC, we need to be known for righteousness. And he shall be all these things and continue to be all these things. There's no end to his kingdom. And there will be peace on earth. As we finish, look at Isaiah 11, those verses 6 through 9 again. These are words of expectation. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Look at the shells, the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the baby goat, the calf and the lion, and a child shall lead them, the cow and the bear, lying down together in safety. Children shall safely play where danger once lurked. In other words, all the enmity, all the previous danger that had been there will be gone, and this all shall come to pass. This is what we can expect. This is what we can expect. This is the promise. This will happen because Jesus is coming again. The joyful anticipation, we live with joyful anticipation, we live in expectation for the fulfillment of that promise. Not from St. Nicholas, and certainly not from Santa Claus, but from the one who sprang from the root of Jesse. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.